From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 98. Don't tase me, drone.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange Homegrown Hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Hey there, listener. Did you know that you can help us decide what we talk about on the show each week? Head on over to our Reddit page. It's at deemable.com/Reddit. There you can vote news stories up or down, or even submit one of your own.
And make sure to help support Deemable Tech. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher.
Please do.
And leave us a review. The more reviews we have, you know how this works, the more people will find Deemable Tech. And then more people will find Deemable Tech. And then it's just a cycle that keeps going around.
Yep.
More people find it, more people listen, more people review. But if you don't review, the circle stops. So we need you to help keep the circle going. Leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. 5 stars or higher. We like them that way.
Yep. Higher, yes.
Yep.
Go higher.
Go
I
higher.
Think, I think means. We need to do one of those like 80s celebrity anthems where we ask people to go and review Deemable Tech.
I like it. Now let's take a look at this week's rundown. Well, Ashley Madison is still in the news. Gizmodo is reporting that hardly any of the real women on Ashley Madison actually used the site.
Yeah.
Salon says the number of fake female accounts is close to 95%, which sounds about right from my experience. Now, we've talked about this on the show before, but for anyone who hasn't heard before, I did have an Ashley Madison account because I was researching dating websites for an earlier episode of Deemable Tech, so no big scandal there. But yeah, the 95% number does sound right based on my experience. Like I said, most of the women on the site are bots. I mean,
robot women?
Yes, robot women.
Wow.
No, text bots, obviously.
Oh, okay.
And by most, I mean, I don't think I ever spoke to a single real person the entire time I was on the site. So there were only about 5.5 million female accounts total. So that means there were only about 250,000 real women on the website.
Really?
Yeah. Out of 37 million total members.
Wow. That's
pretty small.
Yeah.
To make things even worse for Avid Life Media, of those 250,000 women, a very small number of them actually used the website. Only about 2,400 used the chat system, and only about 1,400 used the messaging system.
Oh my gosh.
So considering the site also had 31.3 million men, and the site billed itself as a place to find women who wanted to have an affair, that is pretty rough for the company.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they didn't have the product to sell, so they built bots. And a lot of the accounts have email addresses like 100@ashleymadison.com.
Oh, that sounds legit.
So they definitely built their own.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't come as much surprise that Avid Life Media CEO Noel Biderman has quit his job as CEO in mutual agreement with the company, according to the press release. Yeah. A company that sold a service so crappy that women barely signed up for it, so the company had to make bots, and the site was so insecure that all of its data was dumped onto the internet. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't want to keep them around.
Mm-mm.
That being said, we are happy to say here on the show that this is the last time we're going to talk about Ashley Madison, Established Gentleman, or Avid Life Media, hopefully for a very long time.
Yeah, unless something just like crazy happens.
Yeah, and we're not going to do like a lot of shows do where we just keep talking about it because they are a tech site or a website. If it's not tech-related, guys, we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah, you know what's crazy to me is, remember that whole thing about Josh Duggar, and he had a paid account, but not only that, he had the affair guarantee was what he was paying for.
Yeah.
I wonder how this affair guarantee works when you basically only have, like, 2,000 women to go around
on your site.
If you look at the finer details, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to have an affair. It just guarantees that you're going to make contact with a real woman.
Oh.
Which is hilarious that, according to that site, you had to pay, $250?
That's a lot of money, yeah.
To contact a real person on it.
That's crazy.
To actually make a connection. That's pretty bad.
Well, hey, speaking of bots.
Oh.
Hey. Okay.
I see what you're doing there. Yeah, nice.
Following in the footsteps of Apple Siri, Google Now, and Microsoft's Cortana.
Otherwise known as Tom's girlfriends.
Yep, that's true.
Hey.
Facebook unveiled a new virtual assistant this week. One that they're calling M.
Ooh.
M, just the letter M.
All right.
M will be built into the Facebook Messenger app. Unlike its competitors, M is, at least for the time being, entirely text-based.
Oh.
So you won't be able to talk to it and ask it questions. And as Wired reports, there's another huge difference between M and the other virtual assistants. M will use a hybrid of artificial intelligence and real people to complete tasks.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. A team of employees at Facebook, called M Trainers, will work alongside the software to make sure every question and request is answered. Facebook says M will offer a true personal assistant experience by helping users book restaurants, pick out and deliver gifts, and a bunch of things that, you know, a normal kind of virtual assistant like Siri wouldn't be able to do. During internal employee testing, one of the most popular requests for M was to call the user's cable company so that they wouldn't have to sit through long wait lines and automated messages.
If it does that, nice. I'm switching.
Yeah. Nice. Facebook actually got really serious about that. David Marcus, the vice president of messaging products at Facebook, said that when they saw that, they started to think of ways that they could partner with businesses that get a lot of requests through M so that, like, you know, if Comcast, if a lot of people asked M to call Comcast, maybe Comcast can just have something built in where people could go into M and go, all right, I need to call Comcast. That'll be a you know, a separate kind of chat type of thing for them.
Huh.
Facebook is currently doing a trial run for M with a few hundred people in the San Francisco Bay Area, so it's not available to everyone just yet.
Yeah,
but it probably will be soon. You'll see like a little button in your Messenger app that will say
will it,
M.
Will it look like Judy Dench? Like a little?
I really wish it would.
Tiny
yeah.
Judy Dench.
or, you know, I was wondering.
Ralph Fiennes now,
yeah,
I guess.
Yep. Yeah. I was wondering how to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
I was wondering if this, did they go with that, you know, off of Bond?
I don't know. I don't think they actually said. It wouldn't.
It'd be more fun if it was Q.
Yeah, you know? Or like Miss Moneypenny or
Money
something
Penny,
like
yeah,
that. Yeah, I don't know why they went with that. But it sounds really interesting that they're kind of combining regular, like, customer service with a virtual assistant.
Here's my question. Are people going to know that they're doing this? Because, you know, you feel comfortable asking Google Now stuff because Google Now isn't a person, theoretically.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe if you knew, it might be important for people to know before they ask M weird questions.
I was about
that
to say,
a person's,
you know,
going to review those weird questions.
I was
going to
say, you know, like, what's going to happen when that customer service rep gets the question, where do I bury a dead body?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
As many people have asked Siri and Google Now and Cortana.
Yeah, according to David Marcus, it would be seamless to the user. So you wouldn't be able to tell if this was the computer answering your question or it was an actual live person that
That's
was taking
creepy.
This request. Yeah.
That's creepy.
It's like, it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But isn't there some way that artificial intelligence could do a lot of this stuff if you're just looking to book a restaurant?
Sure.
But if you're looking for, I guess, suggestions for a restaurant, then maybe a person needs to be in there. But
yeah,
I don't know.
My understanding is like they're trying to get the people to train the system. So,
yeah.
So maybe they phase out the people part over time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, like I know that they review the requests that they get from Siri that come back with, here's a web search. You know, they go over those and they make Siri better based on that information.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really annoying when Siri is always like, here's a web search. I'm like,
yeah,
you're not helpful at all. I could have pulled up Google myself. So, I mean, maybe I wouldn't mind having, you know, a real person look at that and go, oh, here's what you meant, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it does sound like they are looking through everything that you're searching, all the requests, and, yeah, putting that back into the AI.
Here's the thing for me that makes this kind of less valuable. With Siri, I hold down my home button until it beeps.
Yep.
With Google Now, you have a button on the home page, right?
Or I can say, OK, Google.
Or OK, Google, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone didn't go off. I thought it might. You know, those are really easy to do from the device, not, you know, going into an application and then finding this button to push.
Yep.
It seems a lot less useful that way.
Yeah, and that's something that the people at Wired brought up, the fact that you would have to open the Messenger app.
Yeah.
But I guess Facebook is maybe betting on you already using the Messenger app a lot.
Yeah, you're already in there or something.
Yeah. So, like, why not just hit that button instead of hitting the home button and opening Siri or something?
Yeah, and as much as I was one of the loudest protesters against the Facebook Messenger app, I am on it constantly now.
It's not bad.
I use it almost as much as I do regular messages on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
speaking of the Facebook, the Associated Press reported this week that the social media behemoth hit a major milestone as 1 billion users visited the site in a single day.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Now,
Facebook actually hit a billion users back in 2012, but there's a significant difference between having a billion people with accounts and having a billion people actually logging into your site and using it on one day.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg celebrated the milestone in a Facebook post, stating that this meant that 1 out of every 7 people on Earth had logged onto the site that day.
Wow.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
We are all on Facebook too much.
Yeah.
especially at work.
Yep. Because you figure, they were probably at work.
Yep.
I can't even imagine what problems you have trying to run a website that has a billion people log into it in one day.
Yeah.
That is insane.
And yet, here's the thing. I still can't get people to like my posts.
There you go. What is going on, people? I don't understand. Here's something else I don't understand. Ha! Transitions. NPR reports that North Dakota has passed a law legalizing use of drones armed with less than lethal weapons by law enforcement. So less than lethal weapons apparently include tear gas, rubber bullets, bean bags, pepper spray, and tasers.
Don't tase me, bro, with your drone.
Don't tase me, drone.
New meme.
Yeah, that's true. The bill sponsor, Republican State Senator Becker, said that the bill was actually intended to require police to get warrants before using drones for surveillance. I love how a bill just completely goes out of, completely away from what it was originally intended to. Because in order to pass the bill, however, compromises had to be included. Becker says that he hopes to get the weaponized part of the bill overturned in a future session. As do I.
Wow.
Yeah.
And well, not even living in North Dakota, I want that to be gone.
The good news, it sounds like they have to have a warrant before they tase you with the drone.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Did you get that just from my summary? Or?
Well, from what I've read.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, it's interesting because this was originally a bill sort of set rules and restrictions on how the police could use drones.
Right.
And then, all of a sudden, the drones are shooting beanbag rounds.
I mean, didn't we just talk not too long ago about the people who are saying don't weaponize the drones?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. And now police will have weaponized drones.
Well, I mean, we've had a drone story on this show every single week for maybe the past 3 months or something
like that. It's all drones and affairs lately.
Yeah. this just seems to be, I don't know if escalating is the right word, but like drones are becoming such a huge thing.
The thing is, mobile phones aren't fun anymore, so we have to talk about drones.
Yeah.
And apparently weaponizing them.
Apparently everyone else is talking about drones as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, our next story is about the rapidly growing field of artificial intelligence.
What?
Yeah. David Neal at Science Alert reports that the Navy has filed a patent for a computerized system that can predict pirate attacks, there it is, based on previous intelligence, weather, and other factors.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah. Modern-day piracy is actually a really big problem. It costs the U.S. maritime industry somewhere around $16 billion a year.
Wow.
And, of course, it's not real great for the people on board, our freight liners and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
The Navy's pirate attack computer model will be able to simulate attacks by large numbers of virtual pirates. And then they can generate sort of probability estimates of when and where those attacks are most likely to actually occur in the real world.
This sounds similar to software they've been working on for a few years that's going to help police force predict where crimes might occur in cities.
Ah, well, shiver me timbers.
All right. Well, let's move on from, I guess, ocean pirates to land pirates.
Oh,
or interesting. As we call them, hackers.
That
doesn't work.
All right.
Regular listeners will remember that not long ago we talked about two hackers that were able to take control of a Jeep's engine and brakes through its Uconet system.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was back in maybe June, July, we talked about that. The hack made such big headlines that it caused Fiat Chrysler, who makes Jeep, to issue a recall. Engadget reports this week that Uber announced that it had hired the men behind the hack Charlie Miller and Chris Valachek, I think is how you say that name, to work at its Advanced Technology Center in Pennsylvania.
Oh, geniuses.
Yeah, definitely. Like other tech companies, Uber is known to be exploring the possibilities of autonomous cars.
Yeah.
Making sure that your driverless car has robust security to keep it from being remotely controlled by a hacker is probably a smart move, I would say.
I would feel better if I felt like my driverless car could not be driven from, I don't know, China.
I would definitely put that on the smart move list. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people trash Uber for, you know, ruining the transportation industry because all the taxi cabs tend to be unionized and Uber is just sliding in there with ununionized employees. But that's not really what it's about. They really want to completely make all drivers unemployed.
It sounds like it. All everywhere.
Yeah, because it's a lot cheaper for them if they don't have to have people in the cars.
I was wondering when somebody was going to scoop them up after we talked about that.
Really?
Like, I thought maybe Fiat Chrysler would hire
them. Yeah, that would have been smart.
You would think.
That would make sense, but, like, man, these companies, they have a real allergy. Like, they take it personally when you hack their stuff, even when people are trying to make the point of making those companies' security better.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And it's very rarely are they open-minded in that regard.
Yeah, that's crazy. Those should be the people that you go after. It's just, they know your system, obviously.
Yeah.
They know it well enough to hack into it. And they have a little bit of a passion for your product. I mean, they chose you. They could have gone after anybody.
Now, I hope all those rival taxi companies are not driving in Jeeps, because in that case, maybe Charlie Miller and Chris Valachek are doing something else for Uber.
I don't think I've ever seen a Jeep taxi cab, though.
Yeah, okay. Well, we live in a town with almost no taxis, so I can't really. I have no expertise on this subject. Yeah.
All right, and before we wrap up the show, I just wanted to share a great Twitter account that I discovered recently.
Yeah?
Okay.
It's Bored Elon Musk. This is a parody account that purports to be the downtime thoughts of Elon Musk, the inventor, entrepreneur, and co-founder of PayPal, Tesla, SpaceX, and the transportation we're all going to be using in the future, the Hyperloop.
Okay. Yes.
And it's a really great one. It's just at Bored Elon Musk. And yeah, it's just like ideas that he has for new businesses and stuff when he's not really working.
Okay.
So here are a couple examples. A news app that lets you swipe left on an article to indicate that you never want that topic to show up in your feed again.
That's pretty good.
I'd go for that.
Another app, eye tracking app that sees when you're entering deep thought and changes your computer's display and audio to replicate a shower. Like shower thoughts?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Let's see. A service that automatically restarts your mom's computer when she has a technical question.
Heck yes. Yeah, that's brilliant.
Here's one where Bored Elon Musk says, I get sad when I see Dyson ads. James Dyson could have built the Hyperloop already if he wasn't tinkering away with vacuum cleaners.
Ooh.
Another great one, banks that convert declining currency into almonds.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Just a really weird idea. It's full of just great things like this. They're all just really quick little things that, like, you know, you can imagine Elon Musk really, like, writing down.
How do we know
notebook.
This isn't actually Elon Musk?
Well, it's not verified, so I would guess that it's not. But
if I was Elon Musk, I would do this.
Yeah, it does say it's a parody account.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
he doesn't even want more you reason, realize. He's trying to throw us off the scent.
That even more proves that it is him.
These are valuable ideas. These are billion-dollar ideas. Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of these aren't that bad. There are some I've gone through. I'm like, oh, that would actually be great. Why hasn't anyone done that?
Mm. Yeah. I did see one just now, my favorite, with the political season approaching. Mm-hmm. Podiums with built-in stun guns that go off after exactly 60 seconds. I would love to see the moderators.
Okay. That would be pretty good.
You know, they could just operate drones and do the same thing.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, bringing it back around.
He does have some that are drawings. I can show it to you guys, but this one is just labeled sliding electrical outlets. And it's basically just like a track in your wall where you can move your outlet around.
That would be amazing. Sign me up.
That's kind of brilliant. I will retweet
like,
that.
Oh, yeah, that outlet's too far over there. Let's bring it on over here.
So bored Elon Musk or real Elon Musk, whoever you are, thank you so much. Yes, we appreciate it.
You made the world a brighter place.
You did.
All right, well, that's all we've got for this episode. If you have a suggestion or just a comment for the show, give us a call and leave us a voicemail. It's 1-888-972-9868. Or you can send us an email to feedback@demobile.com. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story, or just vote other stories up or down. Demobile.com/reddit will take you there. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Demobile Tech.
Ready, Ray?
Almost.
Are you ready for this jelly?
I don't think I'm ready.
A lot of people aren't.
Let me just mark that.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.